I'm going.
Right, if you're up to lock. Yeah, we can just use both. So if you're up to lock. Okay, perfect.
Alright, so, Carl, today we're going to give, your followers a little bit of insight into the circle that an entrepreneur will create around herself or himself. Alright, and, we're really going to be talking about staff today and a team environment.
Okay.
What I call the social ecosystem of the company.
Okay.
Okay. So this will be easy kind of stuff. But I want you just to talk for a few minutes, like reflect back over the last few years. What have you identified about locating, finding team members who are a good fit for what you uniquely want to do?
Yeah, I think the people who are around you define you. And there cannot be enough said about how much energy and strength you get by having great people. We have a letter that we give all the people here about the types of people that we want and that will be a fit. It talks about we want people who have energy, we want people who energize others, and we want people who can execute. And I think being able to do those three things are really critically important in order for you to have a successful organization. But more than that, plus or minus, I heard John Maxwell say plus or minus 10%, the 10 people you, your 10 closest friends, your income is what theirs is, plus or minus $10,000. And it's a weird thing in terms of who you associate with, how much influence they have on your life. But it makes sense because they are actually defining your thought processes. And there's something, even if you want to nerd out and get quantum about it, but there's something about the people who are with you every day and their thinking patterns, whether that's negative or whether it's positive, whether it's encouraging or whether it's something that brings you down, that really changes who you are as a person on earth. And so in business, you have the opportunity in a more professional setting to decide who's gonna work with you and who won't. Something we started doing here is doing personality testing in order to get a feel for who the people are who we're gonna allow to speak to our lives. But I think in our personal lives, sometimes we don't do it as much as we should too. And we're not as comfortable firing people in our lives that aren't a good influence on us, but we really should be. And so in terms of success, I think there's a direct one-to-one relationship between the people who are on your team and the success you have. Maxwell again talks about this idea of a law of the lid, where certain people have a lid to their leadership. And if you have a team of people whose lid is at 6 out of 10, well, your organization at best can only be a 6 out of 10. And being able to trade the 6s for 8s and the 8s for 10s really will significantly propel your business and your life. But you have to be willing to, one, recognize that that's something important to do, and two, make the change whenever it's necessary.
Okay. Well, you're the CEO and you're fortunate to have a president, and your president really is the one who's probably most on point for the hiring processes of your team.
Yeah.
But still, you interact on some levels, depending on how much interface you're going to have with that person. Are you seeing any common traits among people these days who are looking for white-collar jobs?
Yeah, so I've been historically really bad at that because one of my strengths, kind of from the entrepreneurial seat, is vision casting and seeing something where there's nothing, and being able to look into the future and saying, hey, how do we maximize that potential? And so, in the example you just gave, our president is better at that, of saying, okay, how do these pieces fit tangibly and practically today to where you want to be tomorrow? And at a human level, just one, being able to read people, and two, being able to see how they fit is really important. And I think one of the things that we started a long time ago, back even at Group Excellence days, was we started making sure that we got 3 yeses before we made a new hire. Because what that did is it forced you to interact with other opinions about the person in a way that helped guarantee that you'd have the right choice. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine was a VP at United Rental, and he said, you know, at the end of the day, you still might just screw up. It's just part of it. But if you can do things to help you have a better chance of being successful, that really makes a difference. And I know for me, I like everybody, and I can see the best in everybody, and I see what they can be. But, yeah, I just removed myself from the direct hiring decisions every day because there were people that were better at it than me, and our president is better at it than me, and so it made more sense for her to be responsible for that and me to be responsible about vision casting, as opposed to changing your gifting, just live in it, and it makes for better decisions.
Okay, let's stay on that thought for a second.
Okay.
So Chelsea's the one in our organization who's really on point for hiring for the company, but where it makes sense, you're gonna drop in, right? So what is it that you have to uniquely offer to that process?
Yeah, and I think that is a powerful difference in my style. When I say I don't get involved, I mean I've created a system that says my vote doesn't count in this matter because I'm not good at it. And that is not comfortable for a lot of people to do. What's more comfortable is to say that I'm good at everything, and so I'm going to be involved in everything. But if you're not good at everything, which is true of all of us, then inserting yourself into decisions that aren't your strength will cause problems. And I can see kind of through time different decisions where if I inserted myself in those hiring decisions on the front end, they made for bad decisions on the back end and things that weren't ultimately helpful for the company. And she's here right now laughing a little bit in the background, so that's fine for whoever's listening to this. But that said, where my strength does come into play is then once they are hired, making them feel like this is something that they should aspire to be their best at, and helping with some of the personal development of them as people individually, not really just as employees, and having them help connect to the overall mission. I think that's where some of my strength goes in terms of the day-to-day operations. But if I allow myself to, one, be part of the hiring process, and then two, be part of the back end, then I'm incorrectly vested into their future in a way that when there is a conflict between our business success and their personal success, it creates for a lot of unnecessary tension. And it's sometimes just a function of them not being able to do the job they're asked. Because if your best doesn't meet up with what's required, doesn't mean you're a bad person. You just can't work here. And recognizing that on the front end, because I kind of believe everyone will work incredibly hard, do the best they can on the front end. And I don't want to change that about myself. I want to believe in people in that way. I'm just, so it just makes me bad at hiring people. So I stop doing it.
Okay, so I've got a question for your president. This is actually not one for you to answer.
Okay, that's cool.
For her to answer.
All right.
So Chelsea, are most entrepreneurs good managers?
I would probably, well, my only experience has been Carl. So I'd have to say no. I think a lot of entrepreneurs are good managers of leaders and not necessarily good managers of employees and like the actual company's team. From my experience in watching Carl, he's really great at managing the, I guess use the word vision casting and inspiration of other leaders who are doing the same. He manages that, if you will, in a different way. But if he took that same energy and applied it to the daily employees and team that we have working in the company on a day-to-day basis, it just wouldn't produce the same tangible results and productivity in the people, because employees and team members need to be managed a little bit differently than just that inspiring feeling. Have tangible deadlines and results that I'm looking to find and see from you. And so I do think some entrepreneurs can be great managers of both. I also think that in my experience, entrepreneurs are usually better managers of leaders and leaders of leaders.
That's well said. Yeah, I like that distinction. Okay, Carl, so What should a potential hire know in advance before working in an entrepreneurial environment?
Flexibility versus clarity is something you need to get really comfortable about. One, knowing which person are you, and two, recognizing that the entrepreneur is going to be flexible. And so what you're going to see in an organization is there's going to be certain things that are permanent. Typically, the vision is permanent. Like the what we're trying to do is going to be unchanging. It's going to be very solid. But how we do it will be completely flexible, and it will be temporary. And I've heard it said, the vision is permanent, but how we get there is temporary. The model is temporary. And I think as somebody going in to something new, you have to be very comfortable with change, and you have to be very comfortable with flexibility. Kind of, I think the most concrete examples of flexibility versus clarity is, it is cheaper for the organization for us to know if we're going to go on a trip in a month, because then we can plan that out.
Right. Right.
And we can buy it, and it'll be cheaper.
Right.
But if you value clarity over flexibility, then those are the decisions you're going to make. It's like, hey, we're going to book trips 2 weeks out, no matter what.
Right.
That's what we're going to do.
Right.
If you value flexibility over clarity, then you may buy the ticket the day before, and sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you're going to lose, but you have the flexibility in order to change. And I think with entrepreneurial endeavors, flexibility is going to be valued above everything else, or the business is going to die. And that becomes a real challenge when you're building in complementary personality types, because when that conflict between clarity and flexibility happens, it can be real, real frustrating. And so I think that is probably more of a tension to manage as opposed to a problem to solve. And I think people who come with a clarity brain are always constantly wanting to solve that problem, when it's really more of just a tension that they need to manage within the organization. Okay. Because it is very healthy to be able to have that flexibility. But to the reverse point, it's also very healthy to be able to be budget-minded and focused. But just managing that tension within the organization is going to be something that's really important. And if you are coming to something entrepreneurial, know that there will be frustration around that. But if you insert your perspective above the entrepreneur's, the organization is going to fail, because that flexibility is where creativity lives for them as well. And you have to create a space for them to be creative that's not predefined in order to do something new.
Just reflecting on what you said, I can think of, even for myself, from the employee standpoint, in this entrepreneurial environment, I've had quite a few assignments that were completed, but that never saw the light of day, because they were relevant. If they were bigger projects, maybe it took a little time, a couple of weeks or a month to do. They were relevant when they were called for, but at a certain point, then there was a different direction for how to arrive at the end point. So. For me, it's meant kind of thickening my skin a little bit to know that that's not personal, and that you guys aren't ashamed of me because I didn't do something right. It's just that how we're getting there changed.
Yeah, and ultimately, so that has been a constant feeling across the board since I've started business, right? Since 2004, even. Just that idea of that model constantly changing, and that idea of, I worked on this, there's this sense, especially when the clarity mindset, of if I worked on this, it needs to be used. Not those aggressive terms, but that feeling, really, right? Because there's a vested interest associated with that, that feeling. And I think part of why Chelsea in particular grew so quickly in our organization is that at some point she made a switch in her brain and said, no, I'm just doing the work because it needs to be done, and then move on. And not getting that emotional attachment to the work. But it's really difficult when you put time and energy, because especially for me, I can think of times historically with team members where I've asked them to do huge projects, and then at the end of the project, we didn't use it at all. And the fundamental difference for me is, because I value flexibility, having these tools available to me. I'm thinking of an instance in particular where I had somebody go do a ton of research on a particular task. I think it was on a different city that we were going to go to, and they did a different whole bunch of research, a whole bunch of stuff, and ultimately there was only a 5% chance ever we were going to go. And so at the end of that project, when they realized that there was a small chance that this was going to happen, they were really irritated, mm-hmm. because they're like, man, I spent all my time and energy and you weren't ever planning to use this. But what they didn't recognize was that I was more prepared for the meetings I was having because I had that information. And how they were helpful to me was arming me with tools that I could use in the meeting in order to make changes. Now, they didn't know that, and that insight came out just because they were frustrated and we were kind of having a team meeting.
Right.
And they never would have known if it weren't for that meeting, kind of the information, why their information was helpful to me. But I really needed them to do that. And even though it never saw the light of day, it really helped. The analogy, and so that's something from an entrepreneurial standpoint, being able to connect people to why. Whenever people, why has this unique power of bringing patience. Whenever you can communicate benefit, it will help people be more patient if they understand why they're doing it.
Yeah.
If I asked you every day to wake up and put sand in a bag, you would think it was the worst job in the world. There's no way you wouldn't. It's a horrible job. I'm waking up and I'm putting sand in a bag. That's it. If I tell you that, hey, the reason why you're doing this is because we want to be prepared for floods, and when the flood comes, we're going to put these sands up in order to stop, all of a sudden your job has meaning and purpose, yeah. and you can connect to that in a way that is really meaningful. And then now the job that was once horrible really has incredible meaning because you know its purpose. And so there is value from the entrepreneurial side of making sure whenever you can to give people an understanding of the why. But that's not always going to be possible. And so then on the flip side, it's an understanding of, okay, this, I'm putting sand in a bag and there must be a greater purpose. And it's managing that tension as well that's really important for entrepreneurial ventures.
Okay, good. We've only got 3 minutes left, so I've got some other killer questions, but I'm going to finish with this one.
Okay.
Since we're short on time. There's a lot you could say here, but I need you to condense it.
Okay.
What does a positive / healthy social ecosystem look like in a company? Let's
think it's your company. I think I'll answer it in general because I think it's the same answer.
Okay.
If things are getting better, it's healthy. If things are getting worse, it's not.
Better in what sense?
Ultimately, for business, the only definition that matters is financial because it's a business decision. Okay. When you start making the goals other stuff, that's not the purpose of business. The purpose of business is to make money.
Okay.
And so if you're getting closer to making money and becoming more profitable, then things are getting better.
Okay.
Once you're making a ton of money, still, if you get distracted from the goal of what business is, it's profitability. And if you're not getting better in that regard, then you're doing something wrong. I'll spend a little time with you. If it's a nonprofit venture, I think you can come up with other metrics that are mm-hmm. social and it really vision-centric, mm-hmm. understanding why you're here and are you getting closer to that goal. But in a way that's definable, I think that makes more sense too. And even in business, the time horizon of making money could be a year, it could be 10 years, depending on what your goals are. And so I guess it's probably more correct to say getting closer to your goal is defined as being better. And so if your goal is to build a building, you may spend a whole bunch of money, but in doing that, and that may be okay, you may lose money for a while because you're trying to get there. But whatever your goal is, getting closer to it, that's defined as being better. And if you're moving further away, it's not.
Okay. So better is moving towards more profitability.
Better is moving towards your goal. Because I think as I'm saying it out loud, some people's goal is not to be more profitable. Tesla's goal right now is not to be more profitable. Their goal is to change the way people drive and to save the planet. Well, that's their goal. Are they moving closer to that? Then they got better. If they're moving further away, then they didn't.
So define again your goal.
So for me, it depends on the organization, but for me, for GX Management, our goal is to help create an ecosystem that allows minority businesses to be able to be more successful. But more defined, for the ecosystem is kind of my overall goal. My goal here for Group Excellence is making sure that we're providing a service that
GX.
It's okay. I always say Group Excellence. But our goal here is to make sure that we're helping people with their back office in order to allow them to do what they do best better. So if people are worried about their back office when we're involved, we're doing it wrong. And there's been things that we've seen already as we've kind of really grown in the public field where we weren't helping. Well, then we weren't getting better. We need to make a change. And so we've made some of those changes, and we still need to make some tweaking. But if we're not getting better, which is getting closer to allowing them to have a great back office, in a perfect world, I want them to not even know that we're around. We're a sidekick to them. Mm-hmm. They get to be who they are. Mm-hmm. If we're doing that really well, then we're accomplishing our goal.
We're going to let her take the call.